Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on disasters when we come back. Hey, let me ask you this. What do you think is wrong with the Ten Commandments? It's pretty obvious that something is wrong with the Ten Commandments because they've been banned from our public schools, public institutions, and our national consciousness. Now, instead of these 10 simple time-tested laws, we see the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto in their place, and they teach these 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto in our public schools or public institutions. We've made them a part of our national psyche. Now, that's a pretty radical change in our political and moral outlook over the past 50 years, don't you think? Are you aware, for instance, that your daughter couldn't receive an aspirin in your public school without your consent? But your daughter can have an abortion. Yeah, that's right. Your daughter can have an abortion arranged through that same public school nurse without even your knowledge, much less your consent. Now, that's why I contend that the solution to this moral perversion and national insanity is to go back to what worked. Let's go back to the Ten Commandments and the Mosaic Law. You know, our founding fathers practiced and advocated the Ten Commandments, and they even put 22 principles of that law into our federal constitution. And there's still one school left in America that still teaches this entire Mosaic Law, the Ten Commandments, and all 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments, as well as the penalties and the 33 benefits for their observance. You know, every law is a penalty. You don't have to know what that penalty is to suffer from its effects. So whether you call this the Mosaic Law, the Law of God, common law, natural law, karma, it's automatic. And it works just like AIDS, herpes, and VD, which just happen to be the natural penalties for adultery. Now, for more information, just call and order my free general law CD package. It's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. Remember, it's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining, and best of all, it's free of charge. And you can call and order one right now. The number is 417-273-4967. If you're online, you can go to our website. It's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email machine and send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Again, that's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about natural disasters. I took the position that natural disasters are not random, that they don't happen by caprice, that they're directed by God Almighty himself. Now, somebody's going to write me a letter and say, oh, come on, you don't mean to tell me that every earthquake that occurs is caused by God. Well, the big ones are. The ones that are big and mean business and kill a bunch of people are. Avalanches occur, and Katie Couric will report that 5 people were killed in an avalanche. We know what the mechanics of avalanches are. Hell, we know what the mechanics of a hurricane are. But just because we humans can identify the mechanics of what causes a hurricane because of the heating of the ocean waters does not mean that there isn't a God out there that has used sunspots to warm the atmosphere, to warm the oceans, to create the hurricanes, and then direct that hurricane toward a particular target zone. And furthermore, the same God that created the sunspots, that created the excessive warming on planet Earth, could cool it off if he put his mind to it. Well, he's put his mind to it, all right, and what he's done here is heated it up. Now, from time to time, there are random events that transpire. You've got a thunderstorm comes through, and there's a tornado associated with it. Have you noticed that these tornadoes associated with the thunderstorms here in what we call Tornado Alley? We're getting bigger tornadoes more often with greater consequences, such as at Oklahoma City. Now, you know, down in Oklahoma City, you people have had, but over the last 5 years, you've had 4 or 5 big tornadoes. Not just tornadoes. I'm talking about big tornadoes. One of them the other day over here in Kansas was 2 miles wide. On the ground, 2 miles wide. We haven't seen a tornado like that since Wichita Falls, Texas, have we? That was a mile wide. Now, the average guy, you know, he says, well, I've been to college and I've been to high school and I'm familiar with science and these are just random events and they occur because it's a part and parcel with life on planet Earth. Has it ever occurred to us that the God that told us he'd give us rain in due season? I covered this some time back. I said, rain in due season is not Hurricane Katrina. Hurricane Katrina with 24 inches of rain is not rain in due season. And a drought in California where the Colorado River is running at 1/3 of its normal is not rain in due season. And these extremes are the points that I'm making. These are harmful. And there is a God here that said, I'm going to cause this, I'm going to do this to you, and here's who's doing it, and here's why I'm doing it to you. That's why I thought I'd bring you the information. Yeah, it's true. There's probably lots of earthquakes that occur every day that don't have anything to do with God. It's just part and parcel with the natural environment. But every once in a while, you get a big one like we saw in the Indian Ocean or in Kashmir. It's my contention that those earthquakes are caused by God Almighty himself, and he's sending us a signal, sending us a message that he told us 3,000 years ago he was going to send. And now here's the message here, and here's the messenger. And I'm not sure that the sky pilots out here are giving us the straight skinny. The politicians sure as hell aren't. the business community isn't, and I don't think that the religious guys are either. Now listen to this. We're in Deuteronomy chapter 28. If you remember last night, we're talking about Deuteronomy chapter 28, talking about the botch of Egypt in verse 27. And I said to you, I said, we've already got the botch of Egypt. That's cancer. We've already got these diseases. He says, the Eternal will smite you with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart. He says, you shall grope at noonday as the blind gropes in darkness. You shall not prosper in your ways, and you shall be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save you. Doesn't the IRS oppress and spoil you every year? And isn't it getting worse every year? The bureaucracy around you, this government with its stranglehold around your liberties, has been strangling you for 75 years, and it's getting more oppressive and it's getting worse with every legislative session. Just take a look at the Patriot Act and Homeland Security. And now they've got the national ID card coming up. And then they've got this thing, they want to identify all of your animals, you know, with the National Identification Project over here. That those are the prophecies that God said. He said, I'm going to destroy you economically. I'm going to destroy your physical health. I'm going to destroy your physical plant. And that's what we see happening. Listen up. He goes on, he says, you shall betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. You shall build a house, and you shall not dwell therein. You shall plant a vineyard, and you shall not gather the grapes thereof. Your ox shall be slain before your eyes. You shall not eat thereof. Your ass shall be violently taken away from you before your face, and shall not be restored to you. Your sheep shall be given unto your enemies, and you shall have none to rescue them. Your sons and your daughters shall be given unto another people, and your eyes shall long and fail with longing for them all the day long, and there shall be no might in your hand. Let me just pause here for a moment. Let's run through this. Listen to this one here. Your sons and daughters shall be given unto another people. Boys and girls here in America, social lady takes 2.5 million children out of their homes and places them in somebody else's home. That's a prophecy that's come to pass. He says here, you shall betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. And boys and girls, divorce in this country is 67%. 67%. See, we don't want to practice thou shalt not commit adultery. We don't want to practice thou shalt not steal. We've got our own morality. We've got our own legal system. We've got our own law and our own judicial system. And there's a consequence that comes from that. It says, your ox shall be slain before your eyes, and you shall not eat thereof. Your ass shall be violently taken away from before your face, and shall not be restored unto you. This is called distraint. Your government agencies, particularly the IRS, comes in and they take your property by force and violence away from you and don't restore. How do you like that? Now, there was a time in America before the IRS. There was a time in America before public schools. There was a time in America before insurance. The policeman, the highway patrolman, comes out here. He catches you driving without a license, and so he seizes your car and impounds it, and it makes you pay for the towing and makes you pay for the storage on it. And if you don't, then the storage guy keeps the car. Social lady takes your children and places them in foster care, and maybe you'll see them again, maybe you won't. Now, our property is under siege here in this country, and property is protected by thou shalt not steal. Every one of the Ten Commandments is aimed at some civil right that you possess under the Bill of Rights and the Constitution. The 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto seek to subvert those rights, guarantees, privileges, and immunities. You've adopted the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto, which are taking your liberties from you, and you've abandoned the 10 commandments, which gave your liberties to you in the first place, and guarantee your liberties. And then you complain about your government? Children, have we taken leave of our senses? And there's a little bit more to the story. Now we're in Deuteronomy chapter 28. He goes on to say over here, the fruit of your land and all of your labors shall a nation which you know not eat up, and you shall be only oppressed and crushed always, so that you shall be mad for the sight of your eyes which you shall see, and the Eternal shall smite you in the knees and in the legs with a sore botch that cannot be healed, and from the sole of your foot to the top of your head. All right, let's pause here for a moment. Verse 35. These are diseases that have no cures. These are diseases like cancer, rheumatism, arthritis, muscular dystrophy, Parkinson's disease, muscular dystrophy, multiple sclerosis. These incurable diseases, AIDS, herpes, and VD, are what we're being smitten with in this country. Now listen, there's a cause and effect relationship to disease. You're either being starved to death or you're being poisoned, or a combination of the two. Your government is poisoning you in the air under Title 50 by spraying you constantly. And then your multinational corporations are starving you to death with the nutritionless foods like Oreo cookies that you're buying in your grocery stores. I know they taste good, but they're nutritionless. And so without vitamins and minerals, then your body has a cause and effect relationship, and then you get these diseases. All these diseases are symptoms that come from starvation. Notice that your God predicted it long before the event transpired. Then the Eternal will bring you and your king, which you shall set over you, unto a nation which neither you nor your fathers have known, and there shall you serve other gods of wood and stone. I think that's China. The Lord will bring you and your king, which you set over you. Boys and girls, that's a democracy. The king that God set over us, you know, was David and his dynasty. That's Queen Elizabeth. That was King George, and we said, to hell with King George, we're going to have our own king. That's speaking of the United States of America. That's speaking of us here. That's the gang that he's after. And you shall become an astonishment and a proverb, a byword among all the nations where the Eternal will lead you. The people of the world are going to see the United States and say, how could this nation be destroyed so suddenly? How could this great nation have been destroyed so suddenly? You shall carry much seed out into the field, and you shall gather but little in, because the locust will consume it. You shall plant vineyards and dress them, but shall neither drink of the wine nor gather of the grapes, because the worms shall eat them. You shall have olive trees throughout all of your coasts, but you shall not anoint yourself with the oil, because your olive will cast its fruit. You shall beget sons and daughters, but you shall not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity. And all the trees and the fruit of your land shall the locust consume. The stranger that's within you shall get up high above you, very high, and you shall come down very low. He shall lend to you, and you shall not lend to him. He shall be the head, and you shall be the tail. Now, you take a look at where America is today economically. The stranger that's within your gate, somewhere between 12 and 20 million Mexicans have come into this country. They have gone up, and they're now very high above. Look at the benefits they get. Now, pay attention here. A Mexican comes over here. He gets sick. He goes to the hospital. He gets pre-treatment. You pay $500 a month health insurance, and when you go to the hospital, you have to pay for it. Now, boys and girls, there's something wrong here when you've got foreigners and aliens by the multiple tens of millions coming in and taking over your land and making you pay the bill. And you think that's just happenstance, that just happened that way, and oh, shucks, it's just the way life goes, and it's just evolutionary in its origin. Now, listen, there's a guy here that says, I've got a bone to pick with you. And I'm going to punish you. I'm going to punish you 7 times more for your sins. I've got a reason for doing this. And here's the reason that I'm doing this to you. And one of the things I'm going to do to you, the stranger that's within your gate, that's the foreigners and aliens, shall rise up high above you and bring you down very low. Let me tell you one more story. Down in Texas, you whites down there are now minority. California, you whites out there are now minority. The Mexicans will take Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, California, Nevada, Utah, and Colorado without firing a shot. Because your God is going to destroy you from off the land and give it back to the Mexicans that you took it from to start with. Not that they're entitled to it because you took it away from them, because you wouldn't obey God and you wouldn't keep his commandments. And so now he's going to reverse out all of your gains and take away your land and your property. And that means that all of you people that own property in California and Texas, you know, and you think I own this business and I own this home, I own this farm, I own this ranch, these people are going to take them away from you. And then it's your God that's doing this to you, so pay attention. And unless you're brain dead, you ought to be able to figure out that, well, maybe I need to make a change. Now, I'm not going to change people in Texas. I'm not trying to. And you people out in California, I'm not out here trying to get you people to reform. I don't care what you people do. But every individual out there, every one of you listening to me right now has a choice to make, and you're going to make your choice. It may be the right choice, it may be the wrong choice, or you may even take the middle of the road and make no choice at all. No choice is a choice. And you're going to make your choice. And then you're going to pay the piper for it. I would suggest that you pay attention here, because the stranger that's within your gates, he's going to lend to you, but you're not going to lend to him. Have you paid attention to the debt structure here in the United States based upon these credit cards? The average Joe six-pack American family, this is the whole family now, has a $70,000 consumer debt. $70,000. Then in addition to that, you got a mortgage on your house. You got a mortgage and you got a car debt, big screen TV debt, credit card debt, and you got all these bills. And they're going to swallow you up. They're going to eat you alive. It gets worse, though. This is bad. What we've seen so far is bad, but it's going to get worse. Remember, he said 7 times more. If you can't be reformed by these events, then I'm going to punish you 7 times more, he says. He says, moreover, all these curses shall come upon you and shall pursue you and overtake you until you be destroyed. The objective here, he's going to kill you. I told you, this God is violent. And if you don't like this God, why don't you go pray to your God and see if he can come over and neutralize this God? Because this guy here in the Bible has thrown out that gauntlet 3 or 4 times. So say, if you think your God over here now is damn powerful, why don't you send him out here and let's do battle? Let's see what kind of a God you got over here. And then this guy here in the Bible, he says, you know, there isn't any hand that can stay me. There isn't anybody that's going to get in my way or is going to stop me or start me. So I'm just an observer here making an observation. I said, well, if that's the case, then this guy's got the only show in town. You know, this is the only game to be played, and so I guess maybe we better play the game and get it right. He goes on, he says, they shall be upon you a sign and a wonder, and upon your children or your seed forever, because you serve not the eternal your God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. When I gave you all the good stuff, you didn't serve me and obey me and keep my commandments. I brought this up last time. I said, you people down in New Orleans now, you're pretty entrenched in this Mardi Gras thing. Now, Mardi Gras is paganism. And the God of the Bible, now, he's got some holy days. He's got some holidays that he kind of thinks a lot of. And they're called Passover. And Days of Unleavened Bread, and Feast of Weeks, and the Day of Atonement, and things like that. And he gave them to us, and he said, now I want you to practice these annual holy days. And we said, to hell with that. We're not going to do that. We are going to practice Mardi Gras, Mother's Day, 4th of July, Christmas, Easter, New Year's. That's what we're going to practice. Now, in Jeremiah 10, he told you, now don't practice Christmas. And, you know, we just gave him a message, well, we're going to practice Christmas, and you can stick it where there's no daylight. And people are wondering when tornadoes and hurricanes come by, tear their houses down, and the preacher says, well, we just don't know why God acts the way he does. Well, I do. And now you do. I just told you. You give him the finger, and he's going to get violent. You know, most people do that. If you don't believe it, just go on down to the brass rail. Walk up to some big burly guy down there, some big burly truck driver, and give him the finger. Stick it right under his nose. And see how he reacts to that. If he says, now bless you, my son, for coming into the bar and giving me your opinion. Or if this guy grabs you by the necktie there and slaps you up alongside the head 3 times, kicks you in the ass and throws you out in the street, then you'll know what he thought of you giving him the finger. And I'm suggesting here that here in America, we've been giving our God the finger for at least 100 years. At least 100, starting about 1900. And I think he's about had a belly full of us. So my suggestion is maybe we ought to change our ways, unless we've gone totally brain dead over here. Maybe we ought to start thinking about, hey, maybe we ought to make some changes. Now, he goes on here, there's a big war coming up here. Verse 48, he says, therefore shall you serve your enemies, which the Eternal shall send against you, in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want of all things, and he shall put a yoke of iron upon your neck until he's destroyed you. I want to point out here, notice here he says that this God, the Eternal, is going to send this war against you. And here's the makeup of it. The Chinese have about 1.3 billion people. They are emerging as the number one economic power in the world. Have you noticed that from the time that President Nixon went to open the doors of trade with China in 72, 82, 92, 102, in 35 years, less than 35 years, China has just turned around. Their economic growth is around 10 to 15% a year, and ours is in recession. Have you paid attention to that? Yeah, it's true. We used to be number one, but we're not number one anymore. And in another 10, 20, or 30 years, this is the century of the Chinese. And the Chinese are going to take over the dominant position in the world, economically, politically, and militarily. Now, here's your God over here who is in the process of dethroning you, taking you Americans off the throne, telling you step by step, here's what I'm going to do to you. And he said, therefore shall you serve your enemies, the Chinese, which the Eternal will send against you in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want of all things, and he shall put a yoke of iron upon your neck until he has destroyed you. Now, you're sitting there saying, well, that'll never happen. Well, it's never happened yet. Stand by. When it happens, remember where you heard it first. When it happens, remember where you heard it. It wasn't for me. You got it right here from Moses, right here in Deuteronomy 28. Now, the Eternal will bring a nation against you from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flies, a nation whose tongue you shall not understand, a nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young. And ye shall eat the fruit of your cattle, the fruit of your land, until you be destroyed, which also shall not leave you either corn, wine, or oil, or the increase of your kine, or flocks of your sheep, until he's destroyed you. And he shall besiege you in your gates until your high and fenced walls come down, wherein you trusted throughout all the land. And he shall besiege you in all of your gates throughout all of your land, which the Eternal your God has given you. All right. Now take a look at where the Chinese are. Let me give you a quick illustration. Garlic, small item. Steel, you know, big item. Autos, big item. Here's garlic. And we Americans produced about $250 million a year. Not even a billion a year. Just $250 million worth of garlic every year. Out of Gilroy, California. The headquarters of garlic production in America. $16 a pound is what we used to pay for garlic. Chinese start producing garlic, they bring it into the United States, and of course we don't have any tariffs, and we invited them to do it. They bring it in for $3.65 a pound, just down to Walmart, and you can buy it for $3.65 a pound. So you thought, well, I'll cut a fat hog in the back here, and I'll buy this garlic for $3.65 a pound. So the Gilroy garlic merchants all went out of business. So if you want to know where your garlic comes from, it comes from China. Now, we're not paying the Chinese with gold or silver or microchips or Caterpillar tractors. We're paying them with pieces of paper that say someday we're gonna give you something. Now, one of these days, the Chinese, when they get loaded up with all this paper, are going to wake up and say, we'd like to buy an oil company like Union Oil Company. They did that a couple of years ago. I said, okay, we got lots of money in the bank, and we'd like to take our money out of the bank, write you a check, and buy the Union Oil Company for $20 billion. Congress jumps up, goes ballistic, and says, oh, no, that's national security. You can't buy a Union Oil Company. Well, what would you think if you walked into Sears and you said, okay, I got lots of money, and I want to buy this item, this sofa and chair, and they say, oh, no, wait a minute, you can't buy that. Well, what can I buy? Well, come on over here. You can buy these Nixon necks and this trash over here, but you can't buy the good stuff. Well, what would you think of that? So like I said, one of these days the Chinese will get a belly full of that. And then they're going to say, well, pay us. And we haven't got any way to pay them. And then they're going to say, well, we're not going to send you any more garlic. Now, you know, you can probably live without garlic, but can you live without steel? Can you live without without automobiles? Can you live without gasoline? Can you live without all those things that come from China? Because here's a neat item. Did you know that we here in America only produce 1% of our shoes? 99% of our shoes in this country are now imported. You know, we used to produce all of our shoes in this country. Now we produce virtually none of our shoes in this country, and the Chinese produce most of them. I think a lot of us are going to be barefoot. That's kind of where I'm looking at it. So I think you need to be thinking about that in the context of this prophecy in Deuteronomy 28. This is called a siege. Trade war. Economic siege. And he says, when I get through with you, I'm going to break the pride of your power. I'm going to destroy you from off the land. I'm going to send a nation from far. Listen, China's about as far away as you can get. It's on the other side of the world. That's as far away as you can get. He says, as swift as the eagle flies. Sounds like a nuclear-tipped missile to me. And he says, and you trusted in these walls, you know, these trade agreements and these treaties that you made. And he said, no, sir. He says, and he shall besiege you and all of your gates until your high-fenced walls come down, wherein you trusted throughout all of your land. And he shall besiege you and all of your gates throughout all of the land which the Eternal your God has given you. God gave us this land, and we turned around and gave it to the strangers, the foreigners, and the aliens. And you got 20 million of them in here, and now they've risen up high above you, and they're bringing you down very low. Don't you think that we're setting ourselves up for the perfect storm? Are you really sure this is the God you want to be giving the finger to? I say it's time to start thinking in broader, more intelligent terms. Hey, listen, I got to give you a reminder here, boys and girls, so stand by. You've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States and worldwide over the Internet daily. If you'd like more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals by pre-arrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, go to our homeschooling page on the website. The Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives, and it can be accessed to the webpage. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events, and we do it 7 days a week. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, please call the Law School at 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this network or local radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about natural disasters. The disasters that I'm talking about here aren't natural, they're God-caused. Well, they're actually man-caused. You and I are causing these disasters. Well, in a roundabout sort of way. For instance, you know, God told us, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, you know, thou shalt do no murder, you shall have no other gods before me, and so on. And we violate these laws. He comes along, he says, well, okay, if you do that, then here's what I'm going to do to you. Then we come down with disease and plagues, and then we have economic problems, and we have droughts, and we have upset weather, and we are the proximate cause of our own injury, but in a roundabout sort of way. Not directly. Not the way that's being presented to us. Al Gore says, well, you see, you Americans are burning all this gasoline in your cars. You're causing this global warming, and therefore, we've got to take your cars away from you and cut you back on this gasoline. No, that's not quite the problem. It may well be true that we're throwing some gasoline on the fire and that we're probably over here helping to exacerbate the problem, but we didn't melt off the Arctic ice cap by burning gasoline. That was God did that with sunspots. And it is true that we're probably pigs and we're probably burning up too much coal and we're probably polluting the atmosphere and producing acid rain and one thing and another, but we didn't melt off the ice caps in Antarctica or the ice cap up in the Arctic. And we didn't warm the oceans. Those are prophecies and predictions that God himself is bringing to pass because he said, this is what I'm going to do. And that's where I digress from these things called natural disasters. When I hear Katie come on the air and she says, well, there's been an earthquake and this is a terrible catastrophe, a great national or natural disaster. Well, in a roundabout sort of way. Those people over in Indonesia are Muslims. Those people over there are pagans. They practice a way of life that is diametrically opposed to and opposite from this God. I mean, they got a good God. I'm not arguing about Allah. I mean, he's as good a God as any. But your God Allah can't protect you from the earthquake in Kashmir or from the tidal wave in Sumatra. Well, he either can't or he won't. No, one or the other. I don't know if he can't or won't, but that God Allah, he's not doing much for you Muslim people out there, and he's not doing a hell of a lot for you in Iraq. Now, we've got a real God over here, we the Anglo-Saxons over here, and we've been giving our God the finger. We're over here just raising hell up. And he's a little ticked off at us. He's ticked off at you, and he's ticked off at us. And he's got a program in store, and it's called the Great Tribulation. Great Tribulation. Jesus made mention of it. He said, and then shall be great tribulation such as was not from the beginning of the world to this time, and never will be again. I showed you that last time or the time before. Now, that, remember, that was sweet Jesus away in the manger. He's the one who told you that, and it wasn't me. No, I'm just a messenger. No, I didn't think that up. And I didn't think this next one up either. But listen to this. If you think this is bad, going back to, and if you won't be reformed by me, by all of this, I'm going to punish you seven times more for your sin. Do you remember that statement we saw three or four times there in Leviticus 26? If you won't be reformed by me, by all of this, I'm going to lay on you seven times harder. Listen to this one. In verse 53, he says, and you shall eat the fruit of your own body. Pause, pause. You know, red lights, ding, 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 ding. He said, you'll eat the fruit of your own body. He's not saying you're going to turn into a cannibal and eat human beings. He said, you're going to eat your own children. Think of that now. He said, we're not talking about you're going to be so hungry that you're going to turn to cannibalism and you're going to eat dead bodies out here on the street. He said, you're going to eat your own children, boys and girls. Now, when that actually comes to pass, and it actually happens, remember where you heard it first. And he says, now, the flesh of your sons and of your daughters, which the Eternal your God has given you, in the siege and in the straitness, wherewith your enemy shall distress you. Pause right here. I want you to know that 50% of all the food that you eat in the United States of America comes in by way of imports. 50%. That's a statistic that just boggles my mind. You know, I can remember when 57% of all the table vegetables in America came out of the San Joaquin Valley. 1957. 57%. Today, 50% of all the food we eat in this country comes from overseas. Now, boys and girls, these multinational corporations that are producing your garlic in China and shipping you your grapes from Chile and your berries from Guatemala and your bananas from Costa Rica do not have your best interest in their sights. And this siege, when your economy collapses and you're unable to pay, just like the Argentines were a few years back, and they put you on COD, you're exporting $200 billion a year and you're importing $900 billion a year, that's $700 billion short. You're going to take it in the shorts. You're going to take a little hit on your standard of living. You're going to eat fewer bananas, fewer grapes, and fewer berries. That's the bottom line. And when this siege really gets cranked up, he says, you'll be eating your own sons and daughters. And remember, it's the God of Israel told you that. So that the man that is tender among you and very delicate, his eye shall be evil toward his brother and toward the wife of his bosom and toward the remnant of his children which he shall leave. So that he will not give to any of them the flesh of his children whom he shall eat, because he has nothing left him in the siege and in the straitness wherewith your enemy shall distress you and all of your gates. The tender and delicate woman among you, which would not adventure to set the sole of her foot upon the ground for delicateness and tenderness, her eye shall be evil toward her husband, the husband of her bosom, and toward her son, and toward her daughter, and toward her young one that comes out from between her feet, and toward her children which she shall bear, for she shall eat them for want of all things secretly in the siege and straitness wherewith your enemy shall distress you in your gates. If you will not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that you may fear the glorious and fearful name of the Eternal your God. Did you get that, kids? Now, why is he going to do this? Because you will not practice all of the laws that are written in this book. Notice the word all of the laws. Truth of the matter is, hell, if we would practice 90% of them, we'd probably get away with it. I pointed that out to you last time, I think. I said, you know, you can push the old man quite a ways. I did. You know, my dad would give me certain instructions, and I'd carry out 90% of them, and I'd get away with it. And he'd give me my next set of instructions, I'd do 90% of them, I'd get away with it. In this country, And all the Israelite countries as a whole, you Australians are getting away with a bunch, and you Canadians are getting away with some, and you Europeans are getting away with a bunch more. We Americans have probably been getting away with most. But it's coming to an end now. It's coming to an end. The old man's been winking at us for a while, but now, you know, it's time for us to sober up. Sober up. So I would suggest, you know, just as a layperson out here and watching the world go around over here, pay attention to the international forecaster and Bob Chapman. He's telling you where the economic news is. He's telling you where the real political news is. Tells you twice a week. And then you might go to Kitco.com and click on to the Mogambo Guru. You know, he's telling you where the bear does it. Every week. I read Mogambo. And I sit here and I compare that with Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 26. And I say, oh my God, how long can this go on? Well, it can go on until the old man pulls the plug. Now, one of these days, our God is going to pull the plug like he did on the Egyptians at the Red Sea. And you killed them all in 20 minutes. And there's coming a point in time when we won't be able to make any meaningful change in the outcome of our actions, you know, pro and con. There comes a point in time when there's no beseeching daddy. You did it, you got caught, and here it comes. Bend over and grab your ankles. Or grab your knees, as my daddy used to say. Bend over and grab your knees. Now that's the story on cannibalism. Now there's a little bit more here. In verse 59, he says, "Then the Eternal will make your plagues wonderful and your plagues of your seed, even great plagues and of long continuance and sore sickness and of long continuance." Have you noticed that AIDS, Parkinson's disease, Alzheimer's disease, did you notice that these are long diseases? Years and years go by. Take a look at Lou Gehrig's disease. Can you think of a worse way to die? Slowly over a long period of time, your muscles stop working. And as your muscles stop working, pretty soon you get to the point where you can't chew, can't eat. And then you get weaker and weaker, and then pretty soon you can't breathe, so they have to put you on a respirator. And then there's just finally a time when your muscles, you know, your vital organs don't function, and so you finally die. And there's a guy over in England, pretty smart guy. He's some kind of a scientist or an astronomer or something like that. I've forgotten his name now, but he's in a dire strait. He's just kind of a vegetable sitting there. And he talks through a synthesizer, and you know, he's still conducting his business. He's the head honcho over at Cambridge, I believe it is. Can you think of a worse way to die? By golly, I can't. And yet, here's God, verse 59, he says, "And then the Eternal is going to make your plagues wonderful, and the plagues of your seed, even great plagues, and of long continuance, sore sicknesses, and of long continuance." Boy, they're going to drag out for a long time. "Moreover, he's going to bring upon you all the diseases of Egypt, which you were afraid of, and they will cleave unto you. Also, every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, them will God bring upon you until you be destroyed." Hey, listen, I can tell you, I never heard of Alzheimer's disease until 20 years ago or so. Parkinson's disease. Diseases that we're listening to today that are being described to us are diseases that we never heard of. Diseases that weren't written in this book. Well, those are the diseases that we're now beginning to see. And that prophecy has come to pass in your earballs. I bet you we've covered 20 prophecies here in Deuteronomy 28 that have now come to pass. There's a bunch that haven't. You have not been reduced to eating your sons and daughters yet. You have not been conquered by an exterior or an external military force yet. Your economy has not collapsed yet. These are prophecies that have not occurred yet. But these diseases, they're already with us, kids. These earthquakes and these natural disasters and catastrophes that are being reported in the news, they are already upon us. They're already occurring. This is called the beginning of sorrows. You haven't got into the bad part yet, but you've gotten into the beginning of it. So again, you know, my common sense says, you know, when the pain starts to get pretty excessive, there comes a point in time, you know, when we've got to make a choice. We've got to make a change. So my daddy explained it to me this way. He said, "Son, I cannot make you do anything." I thought that was pretty profound. That was my daddy. He looked me right in the eyeball. He says, "Son, I can't make you do anything." What do you mean? My dad can't make me make the bed, mow the grass, wash the dishes, take out the garbage? He admitted to me. He said, "I can't make you do anything." And then he finished his statement. He said, "But you'll wish to Christ you had by the time I get through with you." I tested it. I wasn't sure that was true. I tested it. He was right again. But then that's just because I'm so sensitive to pain. You know, if I wasn't that sensitive to pain, I probably could have done that two or three times. Now, Americans, I don't think, are too sensitive to pain because we've gone through a lot of punishment here already. And there's no sign that we're ready to throw in the towel and say, "Hey, God, I think you got a better point than we got." I haven't seen any indication of that. So he goes on, and he just keeps going on. He says, "Well, finally, what I'm going to do is I'm going to destroy you. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to wipe you out." That's the final line in this play. All right, so he's got a little bit more to say here. He said, "And you shall be left few in number, whereas you were as the stars of heaven for multitude, because you would not obey the voice of the Eternal your God. And it shall come to pass." Did you get that one? Let me back up to verse 62, because a lot of times people will ask me, "Why would God do that to us in Biloxi? Why did God destroy our house?" You know, people are crying, you know, on television when they're being interviewed, or when they're in the Superdome, or when they're being rescued, you know, by helicopter off of the roof of their house, and then the reporter comes over, sticks a microphone in their face, and they're crying, and they're sad, and we've lost everything. Okay, verse 62. Did you get the answer here? He says, "It'll come to pass that as the Eternal rejoiced over you to do you good and to multiply you, so the Eternal will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to naught, and you shall be plucked from off the land whether you go in to possess it." Now that was verse 63. So that's what I'm going to do to you. You're going to be plucked off the land. But in verse 62, he gives you the answer as to why. He says, "Because you would not obey the voice of the Eternal your God." Because you would not obey God and keep his commandment. That's the reason. So the next time you hear some Sky Joe, you know, Sky Pilot, some Holy Joe out here, says, "God's ways are just so high, we just don't know why God does these things to us." I do. It's because you won't obey God and keep his commandments, and he's punishing you. That's why. I don't know how many times he has to tell you that. I must have repeated that statement in this chapter alone 5 times. Why is God doing this to you people in Biloxi, Kashmir, Sumatra? He's doing it because you will not obey God, you will not keep his commandments. You people in New Orleans, you want to practice Mardi Gras? I remember there was a lady down there, you know, this was in August or September, you know, I guess about September, about a month after Hurricane Katrina. And this guy says, well, I guess this will kind of put the kibosh on Mardi Gras. And this woman said, there will be Mardi Gras. There can be no New Orleans without Mardi Gras. All right. Now, you New Orleans guys, that may be true. That may be true. It may be truer than you ever believed. If, in fact, it is true that there can be no New Orleans without Mardi Gras, that can be arranged. That can be arranged. And it's going to be arranged. This guy says, every knee is going to bow to me. And the ones that don't, I'm going to break. Bottom line. So now, you know, he's telling you now, I'd rather that you practice the Passover and the days of unleavened bread and the Feast of Weeks. And I wish you'd give up Christmas, Easter, New Year's, and Mardi Gras, and you'd make me a lot happier. And this woman said, there will be Mardi Gras. There can be no New Orleans without Mardi Gras. And I think she's probably right. There can be no New Orleans. That can be arranged. And I'm pretty sure that's going to happen. Now, the next time around, now after you get through rebuilding New Orleans and you get through building Biloxi and the whole Gulf Coast and you get everything up cooking like you did after Hurricane Camille, 69, 79, 89, 99, you know, 109. You know, about 40 years later, you know, here along comes God again. And you guys, you know, you all sit out here and say, well, it's just the throw of the dice. It's just caprice. Oh, I don't think so. I think this guy is not going to wait 40 years the next time. I think about the time you get through with that, he's going to take a look at your Mardi Gras down there and say, okay, now, you brain dead nitwits, you want to practice Mardi Gras, and there can't be a New Orleans without Mardi Gras. Watch this. I think the next time New Orleans gets destroyed, I don't think you people are going to rebuild it. In fact, I wouldn't rebuild it right now. I don't see anything down there worth rebuilding, but then that's not my choice. You know, that's not my call. And I'm not opposed to people who want to rebuild their city 20 feet below sea level. Don't let me get in the way of your happiness and success. I was in New Orleans some years back, and this guy took me out in his front yard. I walked out in the front yard. And I looked at this great big mound of dirt. I mean, it is humongous. A humongous mound of dirt. And as I was looking over the top of this mound of dirt, a great big ocean-going ship sailed by. I was standing way down here in a hole looking up at a ship going by, and I could not believe what was going on, you know, just being an ordinary guy from the Midwest, you know. And as the ship was going by, the guy came out and said, well, how'd you sleep last night, and how'd you do last night? And I said to this guy, I said, what in the hell is that? And he said, well, that's the Mississippi River, and that's the levee. And I said, that's what? He said, that's the levee. I mean, we're looking at a mound of dirt that looked like Mount Whitney to me. And I said, you mean to tell me that we're standing below the level of the river? And he said, yeah, we're below sea level here. You know, New Orleans, he said, averages 5 feet below sea level. He said, some of it's 20 feet below sea level. And that's where we're at. I said, you people got to be out of your minds building your city 20 feet below sea level. Well, you know, not for me to decide where you people ought to build your city, but you won't see me down there building anything. I saw what happened the last time, and I don't see that you people are going to change much. And I'll go along with this. Hey, listen. Any of you righteous people down there that want to practice the Passover and the days of unleavened bread, you want to do that 20 feet below sea level with all the rest of the people around you practicing Mardi Gras? Excuse me, you want to walk through the Red Sea with the Egyptian army? I mean, I don't pick a quarrel with somebody wanting to walk through the Red Sea, but I think you ought to be walking through the Red Sea with the winners, not the losers. When you walk through the Red Sea, you want to be with Moses and the gang. You don't want to be walking through the Red Sea with Pharaoh and the bad guys. No, sirree, Bob. I mean, if you want to build your house in New Orleans with the Mardi Gras players down there, you know, water seeks its own level, and when God floods out the guy's house next door, I think you're going to get just about as much water in your living room as he's got in his. And you want to tuck that one away in your heart. That's why in the Scripture it tells you, don't follow a multitude to do evil. So when you see a multitude, you know, over here doing evil, you know, you want to get as far away from those guys as you can get. My granddaddy said, you know, anytime you see a riot, you see a mob, you head in the opposite direction, at a dead run, as fast as you can run, you won't get away from that mob. And you can rest assured the police ain't very far away from them. I've always done that. I never did get my head beat in some riot or some mob activity. No, I followed my granddaddy's advice. He said, you know, anytime you see a mob or a group of people over there, you can run the other direction. It's going to save you a lot of grief, and I've done that and saved me a lot of grief. Well, there's the story. Now, here's verse 68. Here's the last verse. He says, the Eternal shall bring you into Egypt again with ships. By the way, where have I spoken to you? You shall see it no more again. And there you shall be sold unto your enemies for bondsmen and bondwomen. And no man shall buy you. All you black people over there, you know, down in New Orleans, all you black people in America, remember how you hated slavery? railed against the white man for enslaving you. Hey, you're on your way to Egypt. Did you know that? And notice that the mode of transportation is by way of ship. You're not flying. You're not going by 747. You're going to go by ship. And you're going to be sold to your enemies again. Why? Because you won't obey God and keep his commandments. So you want to know the cause and effect relationship? There it is. Now, these chapters are called the penal clause chapters. It's Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28. So write these down, kids. Leviticus 26, Deuteronomy 28, Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21. I'll run through it one more time. Leviticus 26, Deuteronomy 28, Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21. And they correspond with this, the whole book, 22 chapters of Revelation, particularly Revelation 6, 17, and 18. Now, there's the story. Boy, that's a bad story. So the next time you hear about Katie Couric, you know, and Brian Williams telling you about natural disasters, I don't think they're natural. I think they're God-caused. I think there's a cause and effect relationship. And the next time you hear Al Gore blaming you for burning too much gasoline, it may be true. You're burning too much gas. I don't deny it. But you didn't cause global warming. There's a cause for it, and there's a guy out there that says, here's what I'm going to do to you. I'm going to turn your heaven to iron and your earth to brass. To do that, he had to warm up the atmosphere and bring upon natural disasters, what we call natural disasters. These disasters are the punishments that we get for the violation of the Ten Commandments. Now, remember, the Ten Commandments are the basis of 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments, 759 laws. And this guy runs the whole universe on that law. I don't think it's near as bad as you've been led to believe. Okay, we're out of time again. You know, you're having fun. Time flies. So let me remind you that you have been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide, over the Internet. If you'd like more information, please call The Law School or go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The Law Hour website is updated every week. It has a radio log schedule and archives, and that can be accessed through the website. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Time's up. We've got to leave it right there. So we'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody. And good night, friends.